sing praises to God on high, for glorious are God's works. Sing praises to the ends of the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O people of God, for great is the Holy One in our midst. Blessed is the one who comes to dwell among us.
Night of Christians sing to hear the news of angels bring. Christmas night the Christians sing to hear the news the angels bring. News of joy, news of our merciful Savior's birth. And why should we on earth be sad, since our Redeemer made us glad? And why should we on earth be sad, since our Redeemer made us glad? When from sin he set us free, all for to gain our liberty.
Well, we welcome you here this morning to this service of Fellowship Christian Reformed Church in Toronto. We're glad that you've joined us from wherever you've joined us from, and we are glad that we can worship God together. Our theme this morning is joy, the joy that comes only from the Lord, and we are happy to be together to dig into that well of joy together on this Advent service. We have God's greeting from the words of Isaiah. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, and without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. The word of the Lord.
This week is our Advent candle of joy. The last two Sundays of Advent, we lit the hope and peace candles. Today, as we prepare to light the candle of joy, listen to the following words. In a world of despair, where depression rates run high, where the pandemic has created so much sadness and loss, God, we call upon you to come.
In a world where joy is a distant memory, we call upon you, great God of joy, to come.
In this season of Advent, we wait for the coming of joy into our world. We await the birth of the Anointed One, the promised child, who comes into our lives in a new way.
Come, Messiah, come and save us.
As we light the candle of joy at home and here, Nell will light the candle of joy for us.
Into this world, morning is breaking. All of God's people, lift up your voice. Cry out with joy, tell out the story. All of the earth, rejoice. Christ be our light. Shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ be our light,
shine in your church gathered today.
I'm reading a poem called The Winter Is Cold by Madeline L'Engle. The winter is cold, all spent in keeping warm. Has joy been frozen too? I blow upon my hands stiff from the biting wind. My heart beats slow. What has become of joy? If joy's gone from my heart, then it's close to you who made it, gave it life. If I protect myself, I'm hiding, Lord, from you. How we defend ourselves in ancient suits of mail. Protected from the sword, shrinking from the wound, we look for happiness, small safety seeking, dulled, selfish, exclusive, interned, elusive, evasive. Peace comes only when it's not sought. Help me forget the cold that grips the grasping world. Let me stretch out my hands to purifying fire. Clutching fingers uncurled. Look, here is the melting joy. My heart beats once again.
Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy.
It's our privilege now to share the prayers of this church together. Will you pray with me, please? Our great God, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we come to you in the worthy name of Jesus with our prayers on behalf of ourselves, on behalf of our world. We bring them to you now, Lord. And as we've been reminded in song and in scripture and in poetry, it is a cold night right now in our world, and we seek for the joy that you bring. So we are thankful, Lord, thankful this morning that we can come and worship you, because when we do, you return us to a place of joy. You return us to yourself, for you are the source of our joy. And we confess that this morning, Lord, that you are the source of our joy. A wellspring of good, a wellspring of joy. So, Lord, as we come to you now, we come with joy in Jesus. But we bring our prayers to you at the same time. But we bring our prayers to you because of who you are, because you are the one who has done glorious things, and you will do glorious things, and you will restore us. So, Lord, we come to you, happy to come to you, grateful to be able to come to you now. And Lord, there's things that take away our joy, like the sadness of sickness, and we have known that in our community. And we lift up before you those who are sick in our community right now. Lord, we think of Willie, and she's away from us right now because of sickness. We ask, Lord, that you would heal her in body and mind and spirit. We think of Alice, who's back in hospital this morning. We thank you that she can join us even with this technology in worship from her hospital room. We ask, Lord, that you would bring her back out of hospital whole and healed. Lord, we think of our friend Dirk and Aurora. And Lord, we thank you for a good report this past week that will prepare him to be able to take chemotherapy. And Lord, we ask that you would sustain him and that you would prepare him and that you would strengthen his body. Lord, many of us are grieving because of sickness of family members. And we think of them now, people that have been sick with a variety of things, including COVID. We all know people that are struggling with COVID right now. And Lord, we think of our relatives, and we think of those in care homes, Holland Christian Homes, and other homes where COVID has struck hard. We lift them up before you, Lord. We ask for your healing to be upon them and that your grace would be upon all those who work there and all those who live there. Lord, we ask for all of our frontline workers, that you would keep them safe, that you would keep the virus from spreading among them, that you would keep them healthy, and that you would enable them to do the good work that they've been doing. Lord, we ask for our leaders, that you would give them wisdom. They even struggle with Christmas. They're struggling with whether they should keep a lockdown on Christmas. And they make hard decisions, and they make unpopular decisions. We ask you, Lord, that you would give them wisdom to be able to make the decisions that are needed right now during this time. We ask, Lord, for wisdom for each of us as we look ahead to the next few weeks, that you would help us to be wise, help us to be loving, help us to look outside of ourselves. It's so easy for us to look into ourselves and know what we need, but Lord, help us to see the needs of others, who, especially those who are alone during this holiday season. Lord, we think of Betty. We remember Betty and ask that you would bless her and ask, Lord, that you would give her a great knowledge of your presence and also that you would bring her the things that she needs to bring her joy. And others, Lord, that are alone this Christmas, we pray, Lord, that you would keep them and restore them and give them every reason for joy in Jesus this year. So, Lord, as we continue our worship, we do so with gratitude because of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's turn together to Isaiah chapter 12. If you've got a Bible there with you, please open it to Isaiah chapter 12. I'll be reading from the New International Version. In that day, you will say, I will praise you, O Lord, for although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. In that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Let's pray. Lord, these are marvelous words, beautiful words written thousands of years ago that still cheer our hearts. So Lord, as we open up this passage together, would you please, by your Holy Spirit, show us what it is that you want us to learn about yourself from this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, in the Christmas story, when the angels came to the shepherds, what is it that they said? They said, "Do not be afraid." Why did they say, "Do not be afraid"? Because they were scared, obviously. The shepherds were very scared. And so the angels brought them tidings of good news, of great joy for all the people. And then the story goes on, and we were reminded that when the angel came to Mary and to Joseph, told them both the same thing. When the child is born, you're to name this child Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The writer doesn't explain to us the nuance there, but Jesus, Yeshua, means salvation. Jesus came as a savior to save the people, us, from our sins. And that's the same movement that we have in the story of the shepherds as we have in this 12th chapter of Isaiah this morning, a movement from fear to joy. Just as the shepherds knew fear and they knew great joy, so we too are told in this book of Isaiah that we can move from fear to joy. Now, it's an interesting passage. It's one of my favorite passages in one of my favorite books in the Bible. I love this 12th chapter of Isaiah. And it's interesting. It doesn't come out exactly in our English, our modern English translations. If you happen to be using a Bible in another translation, or even a Bible in older English, like the King James Version, you will see that there's a difference between the first time that it says, "In that day you will say," and the second time where it says, "In that day you will say." The first time is singular. The second time is plural. In verse 1, it says, "In that day you will say." And God is speaking there to Isaiah. And these first two verses are Isaiah's personal reflection on what has been going on in his life. Well, what has been going on in Isaiah's life? Well, we looked at it last week, didn't we? We looked at the last 2 weeks as we looked at Advent hope and Advent peace. We looked at the 11th chapter of Isaiah. And the 11th chapter of Isaiah is all on the background of God predicting restoration, but after some difficult times that were to come. And those difficult times came at the hands of not just local enemies, but a great army that was coming in. So these chapters of Isaiah 11 and 12 all work together to talk about the hope and the peace and the joy that can be found even in the midst of great difficulty. And that is what we were talking about this morning. But as we said in verses 1 and 2, it's God speaking to Isaiah, and it's Isaiah reflecting on God's words about what has been happening in his own life. And here's what he says: "God, I'm going to praise you. Why am I going to praise you? Because I know that you were angry with me, but your anger has turned away." Now, we're not exactly told why God was angry with Isaiah. We're not exactly told the situation there. But sometimes, occasionally, in these chapters of Isaiah, throughout the book of Isaiah, occasionally, Isaiah moves to a personal conversation with God. And one of those times is in chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. If we were to go back to chapter 8, verses 11 and 12, we read this. Isaiah is talking, and he says, "The Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. He said, 'Do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it.'" So perhaps what Isaiah was struggling with back in chapter 8 was fear. Fear just like the rest of the people had. And you know, if he had been, that is entirely natural, for we would have been too. It was a fearsome time. It's just as it is in our world. There's much fear in our world today. And sometimes we just have to admit the fact that, yes, I am fearful. I am fearful about what's going on here. So perhaps that's why God had been angry with Isaiah, because he was giving in to the ways of the people. He was giving in to the fear of the people of his time. So he says, "God, you were angry with me." Now, anger in the Old Testament is a very funny word. And in the Hebrew, it's a very funny word. Hebrew is very literal kind of a language. And the word for anger in the Old Testament Hebrew, the main word for anger is nose, just like the nose on your face. When we talk about anger, it literally uses the word nose. God says in the Bible many times over that he is slow to anger. And the word for slow to anger is, the idiom is long of nose, that God's nose is long. But if you're short to anger, if you're quick to anger, it's short-nosed. And really, it's referring to that scrunching up of your face that you do when you get angry. I know when my wife is angry with me because her nostrils flare. I can't even do it myself, but her nostrils flare, and I don't even have to ask that she's angry with me. Well, when God says that his nose is long, because he does not easily get angry with us. And when he does not stay angry very long. The psalmist says that in Psalm 103. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. But he does get angry. He gets angry like a parent does. What child, which of you, you're all children of somebody, which of you never made your parents angry? Not a one among us ever can say we never made our parents angry. My father did not get angry very often, but when he did, I knew I deserved it. Like the time I put his car in the ditch in the middle of the night. He got angry with me, but I deserved it. But he didn't persist in his anger too long. There was always the turning away of anger. And then there was the parental comfort. So there was the parental anger, and there was the parental comfort. And we have known that comfort, have we not? We have known that comfort that comes from our good parent, our good God. So how was he comforted? And again, Isaiah doesn't really tell us explicitly how God comforted him, but he shows us, because the very next words where he says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. That is his song. He borrows those words, word for word, right out of the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 2, the song of Moses. What he does is he says, this is Israel's song, and this is the song I am going to sing because God is God, because God is who he is, and because what he has done for me in my life, this is going to be my song now. My song of salvation. And so he says, surely God is my salvation, and so I will trust and not be afraid. So what Isaiah does is he turns to singing, and God comforts him with the song. God comforts him with words. God comforts him with his holy presence. So even though, yes, the fear was real in Isaiah's time, in Isaiah's life, Isaiah found reason for joy. Isaiah found method for joy, even amidst the circumstances which did not change. And I wonder, what is your song this season of Advent? Which song are you holding on to give you joy, to find joy when you need it most? If you turn on the radio, you're going to hear a song like Winter Wonderland, right? That people want us to be happy because maybe it will snow on the right day at Christmas and things will just look good. But you know, you're not going to find your joy this season on a virtual sleigh ride with fake snow falling on the screen. What song is it that takes you back to Jesus, that takes you back to the meaning of Christmas that we have? Find that song and hold on to it and sing it. Sing it with all your might. Well, the next verses then, after Isaiah's personal reflection in verses 1 and 2, are Isaiah turning to his congregation, to the people to whom he preached, and he's sharing this reason for joy, and he's sharing this application of the sermon with others. And what is it that he says? He says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. He gives them a beautiful picture. And remember, they lived in a desert world. They weren't waiting for a white Christmas. They lived in a desert world, where water was scarce. And he says, you are going to find joy, joy like a deep well. You know, I slept really well last night. I had what we would call a deep sleep. And I noted it because, frankly, I don't sleep all that well normally. But I had a deep sleep last night. Now, what is a deep sleep? How would we define a deep sleep? A deep sleep is one where we're not distracted by the things around us and they don't wake us up. So how would we define a deep joy? A deep joy is that which is not distracted by the things around us. Our joy continues on, even though the circumstances around us might be seeking to rob our joy. So Isaiah says, there's a deep well here. I would call it a well of deep joy. And you're going to draw water from that well, he says, with joy. When you draw water from God's well, you are going to draw it up with joy. And then he goes on in this and he says three things to them. In that day, he says, in that day, you're going to give thanks to the Lord, you're going to sing to the Lord, and you're going to shout aloud to the Lord. Those are the three things Isaiah says what they need to do to go looking for that joy. So, sounds pretty easy. Sounds pretty easy. All we have to do is remember to give thanks and sing a song and maybe go stand on our balcony and shout out loud some joyful message. But why don't we? Well, perhaps we've been drinking too often, too long from different wells, wells that do not satisfy, but we go back for their temporary satisfaction. Or maybe we put our emotions in check because we're so afraid of the low points of our emotions that we've guarded them off so that the high points are not available to us as well. God wants us to experience all of life, and he wants us to experience all of joy. So Isaiah here encourages us to sing and to shout and to give thanks so that we might experience all the joy that is offered to us. And it's because of God what he has done. He has done gloriously. And you know, if Isaiah could say in his time, looking back to the Exodus, to the crossing of the Red Sea, that God has done gloriously, so give him thanks, how much more when we look back to what God has done, what do we look to? We look to the cross, to the taking away of our sins, to the offering of love, and to resurrection power over death. This is what we look back to as Christians. Surely we have even greater reason for joy. This word for well is not necessarily a well like, you know, we might have in North America where we've dug into the ground, but it's more the idea of a wellspring or which form the headwaters of a river. I like to go down to the Credit River and I just like to sit there and I watch it go by and it always amazes me because it just keeps on flowing. All year round it keeps on flowing. Where does all that water come from? If you go up to Caledon and take the Caledon bike trail, you can see the springs that form the headwaters of the Credit River, and they just keep flowing. They just keep coming. And that is a beautiful analogy for the joy that Jesus offers us because it keeps on flowing. Earthly joys will fade away quickly, but the joy that Jesus offers us lasts, lasts, and lasts. You know, Jesus picked up the same analogy in John chapter 4. He was talking with a Samaritan woman. He brought up a conversation with her. He said in John chapter 4, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, he said, "Will you give me a drink?" The Samaritan woman said to him, "Look, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman, so how can you ask me for a drink?" Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And such is the well that Jesus offers us to come to and drink water welling up to eternal life. And this is such an appropriate message for us this Christmas, because how many of you have felt that the joy is somehow missing this Christmas? How many of you had some literally say to you, I can't find the joy this Christmas? And we all want joy at Christmas. Of course we do, right? We send each other cards that have the word joy on them. Or we sing the carols that have the words joy in them. We're looking for joy in Christmas. But the antidote for a lack of joy is not the temporary joys that Christmas might have offered us in the past. But we notice, don't we? We notice how much we long for those things. We long for the traditions. We long for the getting together. We long for some of those parties that we miss right now. We even long, as strange as it is, for crowded stores and crowded parking lots, because we're used to that. We somehow found comfort in that. And it's not the same this year. Nothing is the same this year. But the joy is there. My father's been in the hospital recently because of a hip transplant, and we praise God for a successful outcome to that, and he's out of hospital now. But you know, I asked him when he was in the hospital, hey, Dad, is there any joy there? And he says, yeah, there's joy here. You have to look for it, but there's joy here. And then he said, you know, I find joy even the fact that I have a hospital to come to. We have to somehow look beyond the surface circumstances, and we can find the joy that God is offering us because of the care that he gives to us. There is an abundance of water in the well of God, and God says he will keep on providing more. The joy that we find in our salvation does not need to be a one-time event of something that happened a long time ago, but something we can return to over and over again. And finally, Isaiah says this deep well of salvation is meant to be shared. He says, the Lord has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. He says, call in the name of the Lord. Make known among the nations what he has done. Shout aloud, sing for joy, people of Zion. Shout it out. And again, that's difficult this season, perhaps, just because of the separation that we have. Jane sent me a text yesterday, and the text read, go tell it on a Zoom call over the web and everywhere. And we chuckled at that, but it kind of tells the way it is this year, doesn't it? That our telling has to be different even than in the past. But this water that we receive, the quenching of thirst that is offered to us in Jesus, is meant to be shared. And Christmas reminds us that God has done great things for us, great things, glorious things for us, in sending Jesus to be with us, to be like us, and to be for us. So this joy is to be shared, it is to be sung, and it is to be shouted. Just as the angels said to the shepherds, I bring you good news of glad tidings. You know what that phrase, I bring you good news of glad tidings, literally says? I evangelize great joy to you. It doesn't work in English, but I evangelize great things to you. So often we think of evangelism as almost a negative thing, the connotations that it brings. Well, what if your evangelism, what if your sharing is sharing of joy? People need joy. Share the joy of Jesus with people this season. Verse 2 and 3 both talk about the salvation that God offers. Verse 3, our theme for this morning, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Do you know what that word for salvation is in the Hebrew? It's Yeshua. Yeshua, the name of Jesus. With joy you will draw waters from the well of Yeshua. Return again to the well of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that Isaiah, when he said that, was picturing a child in a manger. What I'm saying is that Jesus is our salvation, has become our salvation, and he is the one who offers water of life to quench our thirst and to quench the thirst of a thirsty world. God's well of deep joy is the salvation he offers to us in his own Son. It is a well that we can return to over and over again. And my prayer for you, people of God, is that you do find joy this Christmas season. And yes, we are aware of the sickness around us, the sadness around us, the loneliness and the forced isolation. These things are realities. But the reality is also that there is great joy being offered to us. And my prayer for you is that you will find Jesus in a special way this Christmas season, and thus know the comfort that he offers. I am not my own, but I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That is my only comfort in life and in death. For everything which is stripped away and removed this season, whether it's the shopping or the parties or the get-togethers or the big meal preparations or the big meal cleanups, every time something is stripped away, replace it with a time with Jesus. Go back to the well of Jesus again and again. Jesus has deep joy available for us there. And then follow Isaiah's advice to his own congregation. Give thanks, sing for joy, shout loudly, and finally, find a way over the web, over the telephone, at a porch visit, find a way to share the joy that Jesus offers with others, that glorious salvation that God has brought. Will you pray with me, please? Our Lord Jesus Christ, you are the source of our highest joy. You are the source of our unending joy, and we come again to the well that you offer, knowing that you will give us joy because you keep satisfying over and over again. We thank you that what you have given is sufficient for the entire world. We trust in that, Lord, even as we come into this Christmas season now. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, we have a wonderful song of response, so I hope that you will sing it loudly, and don't worry about the quality of your voice, just belt it out wherever you are, okay?
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine, darkness, and sword, we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, the air of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world. We are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Hey, behold, it comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. Year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
Continue our worship now as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Begin with this prayer of thanksgiving. Behold, God is your salvation and also yours. With joy, draw hope from our God. We fill our hearts with the grace of our God. Say on this day, I will give thanks to God who loves us. Surely God is our song and our salvation. When nothingness seemed to stretch into forever, you spoke, mindful God, and the days of creation sprang forth, throwing down all chaos, shaping all that is marvelous and new from its shattered pieces. In our foolishness, we were led astray by temptation and sin's sweet words. But the end did not follow immediately, for you sent the prophets to sing your praises, but though they spoke to us, we would not listen. So you sent your beloved child, rejoicing in him, so you could delight in your people. So with busybodies and those who never carry a burden, with our sisters and our brothers from every place and time, we sing our songs of thanksgiving and joy to you. Holy, holy, holy is God who saves us. All creation is glad and rejoices in you forever. Hosanna in the highest. Surely you are the one who saves us, holy God, sending Jesus to become one of us, for us. As we remember his death offered for us, as we celebrate his life shared with us, we speak of that mystery we know as faith. Christ died, trusting in God completely. Christ was raised, resurrection drawn from the springs of salvation. Christ will return to create us as a joy. God, pour out your spirit of grace and hope upon the table and these simple gifts of life and upon your people everywhere. On this day, we are fed by the bread of life as we give thanks to you, even as we go to build houses for those who have none, to feed those who do not have enough to nourish them. On this day, we drink from the cup, drawn from the springs of salvation. We will remember your great deeds by opening our ears to the sound of weeping among our friends and those we do not know, offering relief to those who cry with distress. And when all days have come to an end and we discover that the Holy One is in our midst, we will cry aloud, singing out our joy to you, God in community, holy and one, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take and eat and remember that the body of Jesus has taken away the sins. As we hold in our hands the cup, we remember that Jesus told us that the cup is the new covenant in his blood. So drink and remember that the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your body and blood. We thank you for this simple remembrance which speaks to us so deeply. We thank you, Lord, that in your suffering and your sacrifice we find our deepest joy. We thank you for the way you offer that joy to us again and again. Amen. Will you sing with us, please?
Shout of joy, bread is broken, the wine is poured, Christ is spoken and seen and heard, Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again, pass the word around, goes abound, Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again, pass the word around,
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to our only God and Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And all God's people say, Amen.
Walk in the rain, walk in the rain.